Joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Yeah, there he is, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. He is from the 16th District in the state of Illinois. And let's talk about Washington right now and this gigantic bill that you guys passed last week. Another $500 billion, essentially. And there's already businesses saying that's not going to be enough. Where do we go from here?
So if you look at the payroll protection program, we're over $1 trillion now. And, you know, the first tranche of that money is estimated to have saved about 1.5 million jobs in Illinois alone. So that's good. This one's going to do the same. But it really puts into light the economic devastation that's happening. So, you know, there may be follow-ups, there may be more. But the bottom line, though, is no government program. It's probably a really good lesson in government. No government program can replace a good economy or a good paycheck. And this is just not going to be able to do it. We're doing our best to try to keep the engine idle, I guess, in the car. But, man, it just cannot replace the devastation that's been done. And hopefully we can recover a significant portion of that quickly when we begin to get back to normal.
And how are we going to recoup that money?
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, we would, if I'd have been on the show 3 months ago talking about the $21 trillion debt, we'd talk about how unsustainable that was. This will be about 30, I predict, when we're done in terms of economic damage, the money that was spent. You know, the good news is interest rates are basically zero, so the interest on that won't be as huge of a bill as it could possibly be. But we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And this is where I think people need to be, maybe not at this moment, but they need to begin to be prepared, is the federal government, especially the state government and local governments, are going to be making some unpopular and difficult decisions because, you know, math is math. And that's going to include some tough decisions where we're going to have to just tell the American people the truth and quit pandering. And that's probably going to be some cuts in places, maybe some revenue increases in places,
yeah,
and ultimately doing our best to get this economy rolling again.
Do you have a sense of when you think, or what you guys are talking about on Capitol Hill in terms of getting out of this? Where do we start to turn the corner here, Congressman?
Well, I think we're starting to turn a corner now, and it feels like we're starting to see kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, but I don't think we're going to be back to a sense of normalcy for a while, but I think we'll get back to a little bit more of that. May not be as fun of a summer as we were all hoping, but, you know, I think you're going to see that on a state-by-state basis. Look, you know, Georgia obviously just threw the doors wide open. We'll see what the impact of that is. It's a lab of sorts. For Illinois, you know, the governor, and I've never criticized him on stuff, but he extended this to the end of May, and I would actually think that the governor should start kind of regionalizing that approach. You know, there are, for instance, Lee County, Illinois, there's 19 cases and nobody's died from it. I don't know if they need the same restrictions as other places in Illinois. So I think we need to begin to kind of regionalize that, open up as much as we can, be flexible. There may be moments when we have to shut down areas. But I think we're starting to turn that corner. In terms of when we fully turn it, I think it's only going to be when we get a vaccine to this. And or if we find out, you know, everybody's had it and most asymptomatic and everybody's immune, I think it'll be one of those two.
Yeah. And that could be a year away on all those counts because we need to get the testing up. In terms of doing antibody testing, you literally have to antibody test 300 million people in order to be effective at doing that.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Lee County that you just mentioned in central Illinois. I've heard this before. As a matter of fact, we had the Senate Minority Leader from the state legislature on last week quoting exactly that statistic, that there aren't that many people who have it and no one has died from it there. But Lee County's got a very different hospital situation than you have in Cook County or you have in Sangamon County even. I worry that people who live in those more sparsely populated and spread out counties are going to feel bulletproof in this. And if they do get sick, where are they going to go? Because you don't have the ICU beds and you don't have the ventilators in those counties.
Yeah, no, I think it's a legit concern. And I think that's where you have to, it's kind of the art of decision making and governing. It's where you have to have flexibility. And so, you know, right now, you know, people are so much more educated on what social distancing and washing your hands and, you know, sanitizing and all that than they were 6 weeks ago. So that's going to have an impact in and of itself. But if you get, and this is why testing is so important, if you begin to see surges, then you have to be flexible and make decisions. And maybe it'll be one where we have to lock down the state again. Everybody's going to go nuts, but you may have to do that. But I think what's happening right now and what you're seeing around the country with these protests is you're seeing this kind of feeling of, yes, there's a problem in New York City, for instance, But I live in a town of 100 people, right? And so I think that's where the flexibility is going to be important. And look, I'm not attacking the governor and his decisions, because it's a decision that I wouldn't want to have to make. He has lives on his hands that he has to decide with. I just think, you know, there's a point at which you've got to say, look, there's a town, you know, that's basically Kentucky and Illinois. Do they have to be treated the same? And that's going to be the reopening process anyway, going forward for every state, I think.
That's probably true. And we'll see. And like you said, I mean, for better or for worse, Georgia is going to be a test case for everybody. They have a big city. They've got a lot of small rural communities. So we'll see how that works for them. Hey, can I ask you about something international that's going on right now?
Yeah, sure.
What are you guys hearing, and what do you think about the situation in North Korea and Kim Jong-un, and what danger does that pose the United States if there's instability there?
Well, first off, I think he's dead, and I think that's awesome, or he's at least vegetative. He's an evil, evil man. But I don't think we're going to know for sure until a secession of power has occurred, because North Korea, I mean, we can't even get any intelligence in there. It's such a closed society. And I think this is just, you know, my gut feeling. I don't have this from any intel, but my gut feeling is there is a power struggle between the sister, who's basically would be his heir apparent, never been a female in charge of North Korea,
right,
and the military. And they're all figuring this out, because you hear about China having sent people in there to mitigate. So I think he's toast, and I think it'll be interesting. It could potentially get more dangerous as they try to show that they're still in charge. I certainly don't expect it necessarily to get better, because we had that hope for Kim Jong-un. They actually might be in worse than his dad.
Right. And his sister is said to be pretty ruthless herself. And that's the...
Yeah.
We saw her at those attempted summits, and there was a lot of discussion about her and thinking, well, maybe she is the heir apparent, or is she really the conscience of the North Korean government? Is she trying to wrestle back the dictatorial and the, you know, really inhuman ways that that government treats its own people? And I don't think that we know that, and I think it may exactly be the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, we could be pleasantly surprised. It would be great. But here's where she's dangerous, is if she's not any better than her brother. She's pretty charming. Her brother was not charming. He was, you know, just a little guy. But she'd be very charming, and that's dangerous to some extent. But
on the world
hopefully
stage.
She is better.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. Well, I know I dragged you into something else there. But, you know, all of these things are happening simultaneously, and you got to do it. When are you guys getting back? When's Congress coming back?
We don't know. We're hearing all kinds of different rumors, but we're also hearing that it's going to be very different for the next, you know, year or two in terms of how we vote. We may be there more, and the votes may take long because we have to stay away from each other. So there's a lot we don't know. Hey, let me give just one quick thing. People need to do our best to continue to stay united in all this. I'm afraid that this has just fallen into partisanship. And, you know, this is basically a version of 9/11 in terms of what it's doing to our country. And we were united after that, and I hope we can do that again.
That's very well said. Today, the president tweeted about these southern states and some of the more rural states are not asking for the money that the Democratic-run states, and he specifically called out Illinois and big cities like New York and Chicago, are asking for. And to me, that seemed like he was trying to pit people against each other, the rural versus the city, the red states versus the blue states, at a time that, you know, we're not out of this thing yet.
Right. That's right. It's a moment. Let's all, you know, let's just be as united as we can. Doesn't mean you can't have a political opinion, but, and that's everybody. The hate I'm seeing out there just really concerns me.
Yeah. Well, it's been like that. And we know we threw this on top of it, and that's just, the hate was not going to go away. It's really been exacerbated by this, but I love what you're saying. And I hope that people do put down the lances, because we got to get through this. The one thing that we are united on is defeating this in the way that it has to be defeated. We can only burn this thing out if it cannot transmit from person to person to person to person. And that's the only way we can do that is by working together on this. So we'll just see. All right. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, thank you very much.
You bet. Anytime. See you.
Kim Gordon's got the WGN News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.